Welcome to Reformation Gospel. Discover the healing truth and all your efforts to be accepted by God will finally be brought to rest.
Welcome to Reformation Gospel. I want to talk to you a few minutes about some of the things that have been going on in our world. I've noticed lately a lot of preachers seem to be avoiding the topic with regards to the pandemic, the political tensions, all kinds of scenarios going on in our world today. That's one extreme. I see a group of preachers also actually really addressing the situation, but they're preaching doom and gloom and tell us that we are seeing the book of Revelation being fulfilled before our eyes. So they have a futurist eschatological approach to that. And then there's a mix and match. So you've got people who don't want to talk or say anything about the pandemic, but they want to tell us that prophecy is actually playing out in these scenarios in our world. And I don't actually go on ministers or preachers their website, rarely ever, but it's just recently out of curiosity. I wanted to know what they are saying, what are they doing to encourage people, really. Now, some of the preachers that I do know would be the first ones that I would go and visit on their homepage. And having listened for as much as I could bear it, it seems that, yes, they are really sticking with the message that they believe to be the good news. And to be fair to them, yes, some of them are really doing their best and got a good grip of some really powerful gospel truths, and so they teach that, and it does encourage. However, there is no practical application or link made to the situation that currently is challenging so many people, families, and young people. It's just horrendous. And if I wanted to go to a website of a preacher in hopes or in expectation to get some sort of inside wisdom, some sort of practical tool that could help me deal with what I might be dealing with currently. You know, people have lost their jobs, people are in threat of losing their jobs, their houses, their savings, and of course, some people, their health is vulnerable. People need some practical help. But here's some of the things that I think stand out completely. And I think I've hinted towards it. I have been direct about it. And I'm going to have to really start focusing in and double down on this matter, because if we believe a futurist eschatology, and we presuppose that the book of Revelation is being fulfilled by what's happening in our world right now, we are not helping the situation at all as believers. In fact, we are assisting to make it worse. And the reason for that being is that, and here's the key, words have power. If you've been involved in the Word of Faith, then you know you have been taught well enough to realize that with your words you create, or you unleash creative energy. The Lord Jesus talks about it really clearly. In fact, I'm going to read you that verse. And of course, you might already know where I'm going with this. quickly. I don't use electronic Bible. I'm old school. Yeah, I got my here we go. King James. I'm not one of those who are strictly King James. I think you need to go back to the original Greek and Hebrew and really go through it word by word. Mark 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now, if you are familiar with the word of faith teachings, then you'll know what I'm about to say. But if you're not, it bears repeating or it bears sharing it with you because it's good. Have faith in God. Actually, out of the Greek, the wording put together, the sentence should be translated slightly different. It should say, have the faith that is God's faith. So God's kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. And the God kind of faith is the kind of faith where God envisions something and then says, let it be so. You know, let there be light. And in fact, he didn't even say that because that is the format of that sentence is actually not accurate. It has to be in a present tense dynamic. So when God said in the King James, you read it, let there be light, actually God said, light be. In fact, even better, light is. Light is, God said, and then light was. It just appeared, it manifested. You see, have the God kind of faith, the faith that God himself has. How did he use his faith? How did he put it to work? And then Jesus says here in verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Your words have power. And you know what? It's not just for the Christian. Please get over that. You see, people speak and codify their persuasions, their opinions, their beliefisms into words. They formulate the sentences. And by doing so, they're adding into these words. Now, somebody said words are vehicles. It's not so much the word that is spoken, because when I speak a word through what I'm saying, you don't literally see letters come out of my mouth. But what is happening is that energy, and I'm not even talking about Holy Spirit power. You see, this is where people get this stuff so mixed up. When, let's say, people are doing what I would call energy work. Surely you've heard of yin and yang. A way to describe it from a Western scientific perspective would be easier, perhaps, to say electromagnetic energy, right? So they constantly in a balance with each other. So that's that yin and yang principle, and so it's called qi or qi. You see, when people practice these things or meditation, and they talk about energy, cosmic energy, or the physical, or the energy of the physical body, described as the ethereal body, the astral body, and they talk about the astral playing field, which is made up of energy. Look, what it really is, it's electromagnetic fields of energy, and it's everywhere. It's the world, the physical, material world is made up of it. Everything is made up of energy. Energy contains data, information. Now, When we speak words, we project the belief, the opinion, into a codification through words, and we speak those words, and the energy in us and around us becomes filled with that data. It fills itself and it becomes potent. That energy that first was just there is now being impregnated with the data that we've released into it, and it becomes a creative energy. But what I want you to get is the principle. You speak words consistently out of a belief, out of something that you believe at a level of your innermost being, not just anything you say, just little words that you just random things. If you have small talk with people, or you're just saying rubbish, what matters are the things that you really believe. And the way to distinguish that, the difference between the irrelevant things you say and the relevant things you speak, is whether you have an emotional association with what you're saying, where you've got emotion connected to these beliefs and opinions that you utter. Because when it is connected with your emotions, the more emotion is linked into that, the more energetically what you speak is actually going to be activated with the data, with the information that you speak about. If you are constantly, whether you're preaching it from a pulpit to tens or hundreds or even thousands of people and saying these are the last days and these are the signs of the times and God is about to come and he's going to unleash his wrath upon the wicked. And you see, you could be, what you're doing is you're loading the air, the cosmic energies, and not just that, you're loading people's minds and their mind energy and their mind dynamics with these, that data, that information, and they themselves to start speaking these things. And you might say, well, yeah, but it's true, it's the book of Revelation. Well, really, I implore you, I challenge you to really get into the Word and have an open mind, because the book of Revelation was talking about the first century Christians. Why would Jesus, and I'm going to close with this and I'll leave you with that thought, why would he say the following thing here? Let me find it quickly. Matthew 24, the big chapter about the time of the end, not the end of time, chronos, as we know, clock time, the time of the end of the age of the Sinaitic covenant. Now in chapter 24, verse 34, Jesus says, verily, now he's speaking to people right there and then, right? He's speaking to them. You were not there. I was not there. He's speaking to a group of people there with him, around him, sat around him, listening to him, his disciples, and he says, verily I say unto you, this is Matthew 24, verse 34, this generation shall not pass till all these things shall be fulfilled. This generation, is he talking to a generation that lives 2,000 years later after when he said that? How would these believers, these followers of Jesus who were listening to him then, be alarmed at all or concerned about a generation that would live 2,000 years later after them and then maybe have an experience that would be as described in the book of Matthew 24? He wasn't talking about us. He was talking about them. And it was that generation that the scripture tells us clearly that a generation, the biblical number for that would be 40 years. And it was within 40 years after his resurrection. It was actually less because he'd already done years of his ministry, 3.5 years. So he's gone into that 40 years. So about 35, 36 years later, Jerusalem is destroyed, 70 AD. And everything that happened there matches exactly what the Apostle John describes in the book of Revelation. And I know how hard it is because I was in the dispensational camp. For many years I preached it, I taught it, I believed it, but I didn't actually study it. And it wasn't until I knuckled down seriously and said, okay, I need to prove this stuff. And as I started going into it, man, I had some major paradigm shifts. And if the book of Revelation was fulfilled in the first century, then Christians today constantly preaching, teaching, talking, loading the air with this is the time of the end, or the end times, last days, the book of Revelation, we're going to see, you know, the World Economic Forum is a front for the New World Order. I'm not saying that that is not so. It could be so. I keep an open mind. There's a whole lot of evil going on in the world. But what I know for certain that it's not a fulfillment of prophecy. It is not the book of Revelation. All it is, and we know that the devil is out there. And even if the book of Revelation was fulfilled in the first century, and even if it's true, which I believe it to be so, that this, what we're seeing in our world, is not God's wrath, it's not God's prophecy, it's not the will of God, and if it's not, then I know that God doesn't want this stuff to happen in this world. Then he's on our side to do something about it, to break down the evil, to break down any sort of scheming that's been going on, if that is the case. That means then all it is just the devil's agenda has never changed. He's always wanted to control the world. He wanted it throughout history. He wanted to take over in heaven, and that's why he got cast out of there. He was jealous when God put man in authority on this planet and said, you have the dominion. He took it away from Lucifer, and Lucifer was envious. And Lucifer wanted to prove a point that God, your way is wrong. Heaven and earth should not function on love and mercy and grace. It needs to be totalitarian control. And that's what the devil's trying to prove, and he's still trying to control. He's trying to gain ground. And we are helping him if we're saying, oh, this one world order is going to happen because God already said it in the book of Revelation and in all the scriptures, it's going to happen.
For more information, go to reformationgospel.com.